This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here are your hosts, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer.
I can't believe we're letting these guys on my network.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. I'm Sean, stacking the money green, filling in for my partner in picks, Ryan Kramer, is the great CJ Sullivan. What's happening, CJ?
What's up, Sean? Fantastic. Good to be here in the studio, doing some great sweats here in the sports book
before started. Well, let's start with it, because preseason action, I fell in love with Drew Aller and the Steelers. I was on Follow the Money earlier, making a catch. Drew Aller, Rookie of the Year, 100-1. And then he just looks like complete garbage, unfortunately. Get shut out by the Jets, not a good outcome there. But Drew Aller, I still am somewhat optimistic there.
He didn't look bad. There was a lot of penalties there. I was on the over.
I was on Steelers plus 1.5. You were on the over.
Which looked fantastic. 2 minutes into the game, it was 7-0. Geno drives him down. Here we go. And then that was the last play of football that happened for the next 58 minutes.
Yeah, it was a pretty ugly game, but NFL preseason, we got Packers Broncos live in game. I'm laying the 6 with the Broncos. Feels like everyone is riding this idea of Sean Payton really caring. And watching the game, though, it did seem like there was some energy in that.
It was playoff.
Patrick Surtain was lighting up guys.
It was playoff atmosphere there in Colorado. I mean, all the starters were in there. Both teams' first
Jordan
units
Love
were in
was
there,
out there.
And they were popping each other hard. And I was like, wow, this is not the Steelers Jets game we're watching
Steelers Jets game was complete opposite. Geno had one good drive, then they brought in Klubnik, and you saw some zappy, just really bad quarterback play. But it's the NFL preseason, it is fun to bet on it. We're gonna be breaking down some NFL preseason picks. We're gonna be talking a little fantasy NFL props with Jeff Erickson later on. Of course, from prop points, we got sports betting blackjack on the card. We're going to be talking college hoops with Colby Dant, Tale of the Tape. We got it all here. Looking forward to it.
Real quick, fun story off of football here, because we're also sweating some baseball here. There, I mean, it is the season. And I was blown away about the live numbers that was going on in baseball.
I mean, hanging out, if you never hung out with CJ in a sportsbook, I recommend it, especially if he's got a good view of the live odds.
All right.
Because every time the live number popped up, that was a big dog. CJ's like, it looks pretty good. Maybe we should fire.
I got to hit up the account. So I was on the Phillies run line tonight.
Yes.
Okay. -130 to -1.5. Wasn't looking good all game. It was back and forth affair. But every time a live number would pop up, the Cardinals just had like this huge number, +450, +580, and it's a one-run game. I'm like, this seems out of whack, right? I should be on these Cardinals. And then you pointed out, be nothing worse that if
if you're on the Phillies run line late in the 1.5, then you buy back on the Cardinals money line, and then we get a Phillies one-run.
Well, so this is what happened. So the Cardinals kept taking the lead back. I'm like, man, I should have had the card. I knew I should have took it. Like three times it happened. They kept going back and forth. So then it goes into extra innings. I go upstairs to the room to do my ritual meditation before the show here. And just getting changed. And I look out the window, which has a beautiful view of Stadium Swim and a giant movie screen. And all I see is the Phillies celebrating a walk-off home run. I'm like, oh, my God, Ghost Runner. They covered the run line. Immediately, you text me, don't look at the Philly score. I guess the Cardinals scored in the top half.
No, I mean, it was just, it goes to extra innings.
Right.
And that's the thing. Normally, when you're with the home team with the run line, that's part of the part of the downside is that, well, hey, in the bottom of the ninth, if they're up by one, or if they're up period, they're not going to try and cover. Or won't have an opportunity to cover. But with the Ghost Runner, that covering opportunity becomes a little bit more real with a walk-off home run. But yes, it was a walk-off. I mean, it is pretty.
As soon as you text, I'm like, I don't even look at the score. Cardinals scored in the top half.
So if you missed the score, Phillies
did win. Good job.
7-6. Nice job for the Phils. But as you pointed out, Cardinals did get one in the top of the 10th, which that's got to be interesting. You win with a walk-off home run, a two-run walk-off home run, and don't cover the 1.5.
Right.
run line. That's a real conundrum. So luckily you didn't get back on the Cardinals.
I did not buy back on the Cardinals.
Yes, but it was talking to you. CJ.
I still had FOMO. It's the same thing with the White Sox. They were down 3-0 or something like that. And it was there like plus 450. I'm like, what are we talking about here? Next, you know, it's tied up and they'll still lose.
4-4 bottom of the eighth, Mets, White Sox, a lot of action live sweating out. Yeah, no, it was super fun just hanging out in the book. We got to see a guy give the middle finger to the screen. I mean, again, that's what's great about hanging out in the sports book. And everyone talks about, it's a better setup at your home. But you don't get that live sweat of these games. And even on a quote-unquote somewhat quiet night here with just preseason and MLB, there's some people losing their minds, going nuts. This guy was giving a double finger to the screen, yelling at the team he was betting against.
He had a Bryce Harper at one point.
A lot of cursing.
Then he cheered a home run on some other TV for the Red Sox, and then he gave a middle finger to his phone because he was watching a score on his phone. Like, okay.
That was pretty great.
You have to let
Three fingers to two different screens.
Who are you watching down there? Because we don't know. Right. It was a three-screen double finger and celebration all in a weekend here at Circa.
Yeah, no, great time. And there's a huge fantasy event going on. Yep. Contest weekend coming up next. Next weekend, we're going to be out here for an extended hang for contest weekend. Looking forward to that. CJ, are you you're out here. You're coming out. Filling in for Ryan. Ryan's dropping his daughter off at college. But then on top of that, you got a fantasy draft. Now, I on our podcast, I had asked you, like, are you guys just doing it digitally? Do you have an actual board? Walk us through this fantasy league.
Right. Very insulting question if you're asking me if
well,
I'm
because
doing digitally.
CJ is a very analog guy. I would assume CJ, it would all be analog if it was up to him. But it's, you know, the modern times. Maybe someone else is the commissioner. Walk us through your league here, CJ.
Even this laptop here is for show. I have a magazine inside of this thing that I'm cheating with. No, I'm the commissioner's league, so as you know, it's definitely analog. This is an old 25-year-old league of old Chicago Comics. I've toned down my fantasy football. As you grow older, you know, it gets less of your life.
Well, to me, it's just the more gambling's taken over,
right,
the less patience or interest I have in doing managed leagues. I'm in one managed league with my family that guy who works for us, Cody Zeeb, actually manages the team. So even my family league, I've outsourced.
Yeah, so the ones I do remain are more for social aspects. And this one has been for a long run. We're having the draft here this weekend because I was filling in for this weekend. And I was a champion. The champion gets to determine the city.
Oh, that's great.
So it's always here. So they're flying in one by one. You got to meet a bunch of them. And it is a manual board that gets mailed in from Philadelphia. Got mailed in this time. And I mean, it's like a huge cardboard thing. Like, they had to pay, obviously, your oversized luggage area it's going to go to. You're going to see a pair of skis, a guitar, and a draft board coming through the luggage area.
That is just the oversized luggage for bringing out the draft board.
Yeah, so we don't do anything. We don't online drafts. Like, what's the point? What are we
come
doing?
On. If it's about the experience of getting together, hanging out,
making fun of picks, and that was a reach, but I like him. You know, you got to do it on the needling. Like,
what you were telling me, your buddy was a Bears fan, did the all-time reach last year where he drafted, was like...
It was 2 years ago. It was Caleb's rookie year. So he's a big Bears fan. He's the lead starter in Chicago, and he's very emotional. You can talk him into anything, as you saw. You saw how easy
we talked him into Broncos.
Easily. The draft was happening the day of a preseason game where Caleb Williams hit Odunze for like 150-yard bomb for a touch. This is Caleb's rookie year, you know. And we're like, look how exciting it is. Look at that. And he gets all worked up. And then he drafted Caleb Williams second round, Odunze third round, back to back.
Which in no fantasy scoring, especially the rookie year, that was not a good draft.
No. Caleb was going 20th round that year. Odunze barely got a sleeper. And like, last year would have been too bad, but like that's just the way it is. And then you know, there's a lot of a lot of do's and don'ts and aspects. A lot of people are under the influence of different things when picks come, but they're all for legendary stories. And this weekend, as you can see, this is just the beginning of it. What's
just the
happen?
Warm up right now? Now, CJ, who's on your big board? What pick are you at? Who do you have locked in?
I have the 10th pick out of 12 teams. And we have a keeper situation. We get to keep one player, and you get to keep him for the round of the thing. I'm looking at you're not going to want to hear this. I kept Herbert because he's a 10th round value.
I don't mind Herbert. I don't mind Herbert in the regular season. Right, sure. I like the idea of the Mike McDaniel offense. What I mind is when people are ranking quarterbacks and they put Justin Herbert up so high when he hasn't won a playoff game. Call me old fashioned. When you win a playoff game, then you can be on the list and we can discuss you.
Yes.
But until he wins a playoff game, my God.
And I feel there's so many good quarterbacks. You just like we were just watching the Broncos game. The announcer said Jordan Love's a top five quarterback. In what world?
I know. I'm not even like a Jordan Love hater.
Yeah,
but
I
top
like Jordan
five.
Love, but no, he's not a top five quarterback. But other than that, you're talking about the end of the round. You got some good value. I think A-Chain might slip down there.
Oh, I love A-Chain.
You know, and there's a lot of those. There's a block of those running backs. People like of Chase Brown, Saquon, of course, Marion Hampton. People really love with the Mike McDaniel offense there. So I'm hoping because I'm in Vegas, I would love to get A-Chain at my 10, and then around the corner, roll the dice. We're in Vegas. Let's get Brock Bowers. Get that elite tight end. And
ooh, are you worried about the PCL? The PCL got a lot of PCL's been on the rise here with Ricky. Now maybe it's the PCL right? Influenced by the substation,
yes.
But Ricky Pearsall out for the season due to his PCL, and then Brock Bowers, he said some swelling coming back from the PCL.
You gotta take it easy with these training camp stories and injuries because they have nothing else to report.
I know, but I get sucked in.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, Pearsall, of course, not for the year, but no, I'm not worried about Bowers' PCL.
Well, and I think the best case for Brock Bowers is that look what Kirk Cousins did last year, whether it's props, whether it's whatever. Kirk Cousins, Kyle Pitts, he got him out of the grave by just peppering him constantly. So I think that we're in store for a huge year.
Yes.
For Brock Bowers. We're going to talk a little more fantasy, but of course, NFL player props with our buddy Jeff Erickson joining us in studio from Prop Point. Stay tuned. Sports Gambling Podcast Live here on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean stacking the money green, filling in for Ryan Kramer. CJ Sullivan, what's up, CJ?
What's up, Sean? It's exciting here. We got a fantasy expert. Just as I said, I only do it socially now.
Yeah, CJ's like, I'm not a professional, but joining us in studio, Jeff Erickson from Prop Points here on VSiN. Now, Jeff, you just mentioned crazy day for you. Three drafts, Prop Points. How you feeling?
Doing good. Hey, it's a new event. It's called National Fantasy Football Draft Day. My buddy Rick Wolf's putting it together.
The Wolfman.
Yeah, RotoWire wants to have a presence there, so I'm here and all that. It's great. I've known Rick for 25 years in this industry. The fantasy sports industry is awesome. You know, it's not Coke versus Pepsi. We're all trying to grow the pie. So it's been really great. And I get to talk with a lot of people that, you know, I'm going to be doing a SiriusXM show tomorrow from Circa. I did Prop Points today over at the D. You know, I'm talking a lot.
Yeah, that's what we do. We're talking football preseason. Now, when I was playing more fantasy football, I loved every draft. Every draft I left, I never felt bad about. Do you have any drafts that you're feeling good, bad at? Where are you at with your drafts?
I mean, there's always something you're like, I got sniped on this guy, or man, I wish I would have structured a little differently. I did a 14 teamer the other day, and I went a little early with one of the premium quarterbacks. I kind of wish I would have waited. Because it's the bigger the league, the more I want to wait on quarterbacks.
Right. Yeah.
The
way
I've, especially this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great to wait. You know,
quarterbacks are so deep this year.
Yeah, exactly. So today, that was my mission. Two of the three drafts, I really waited on quarterbacks. There's one. I got Lamar in the middle of the sixth round.
Okay.
The thing is, this year, even the premium quarterbacks are going later than you ever used to. You know, Josh Allen goes late third, early fourth sometimes. Lamar went middle sixth. I mean, that's
crazy.
It's not your father's fantasy league.
Who's
anymore.
The one you reached for that you feel bad about?
Well, I did a Burrow league. I mean, I don't feel bad about Burrow.
Right.
I love Burrow. Uday, I'm a Bengals fan too. Yes. That helps. But and I already had Higgins, so there's some correlation going on there. But you know, in a 14 teamer, it's a long wait, and you know. Getting that third running back was tough. I felt
especially
like I was chasing.
Especially for a pocket quarterback, too.
Yeah.
I'm a big...
Burrow's going to produce, but still, you know.
For sure.
I'm a big Malik Willis guy. I love the rushing upside for Malik Willis. Am I crazy if I'm doing drafts to, like, just wait till everyone drafts their quarterback and then just go with Malik Willis? Like, I feel like the guy can get, like, 70 rush yards a game.
I would say don't be on Malik Willis Island.
Okay.
I would, you know, have a friend. Maybe Brock Purdy, maybe Dak, or if you want to wait a little later, you can still get Jared Goff, who may lead the league in passing yards.
Yeah, no,
you
know, Goff is like a guy no one wants to take, but he just puts up incredible numbers.
You're not gonna go broke with Jared Goff. You might not win the league because of him, but he's solid.
He'll get you some good starts.
And he's set up this year so much because he's literally got like almost all dome games and at home.
Yep.
Like,
very schedule. Very good. And no defense on the other side. The fantasy season, NFL preseason, we're watching all these rookies, seeing the highlights in camp, guys, rookies rocketing up draft boards. Who are some rookies that are rising up the draft boards that maybe you agree with, maybe you don't agree with? Who's exciting here in the rookie class?
Well, there's no buzzier guy right now than Deshaun Stribling.
Oh, yes.
You know, just
electrical field buzz.
Yes. I made the joke on prop points, but it's good enough. I'm going to repeat it. You know, there's a shortage of helium in this world. There's a shortage of helium in this world, but not in the fantasy world there. You know, Deshaun Stribling is that guy.
Yeah, he's great.
He went as high as pick 62 today in the drafts that I was seeing around there. So that gives you an idea. But, I mean, just look at the target share. I know Evans hasn't been playing. But guess what? Mike Evans might not be playing.
Right.
You know, that's a thing.
And
I mean,
if he does.
And Kittle?
He is the number two.
62 is probably rich. But here's the thing. This was a sharp room. And it's also – it was a best ball draft, too. Right. So it's kind of a get your guys. But, man, I mean, it's not hard to dream about. Pearsall's out for the year. Kittle, we'll see what he gets. I know they're saying all these positive things, but
Christian Kirk's not a football player anymore.
No.
I mean, I love Christian Kirk, but, like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he's going to make the team.
Right. Christian Kirk.
What about Jacoby Lane? He's been another guy. He seems to be – are you buying the Jacoby Lane hype?
I am, to the point that I know he's good at a ball – he's a good ball catcher. Now – a Declan Doyle offense, we'll see how often they're going to be throwing the ball. I mean, if he's off the Ben Johnson tree, and we know they know how to run.
Yeah.
We
know the rock with Derrick Henry.
You know, that's like right up their alley. You got a brand new center. That's the offensive line is one thing I want to watch, but we saw the Bateman thing today. Unfortunate news.
Yeah, big news. Bad. Rashad Bateman in trouble for a domestic incident. We'll see if he ends up getting suspended. Mm-hmm. Do you move Jacoby Lane up because of that?
Domestic situation, or he locked his keys in the car.
Yeah.
We don't know yet. Details are coming.
There was a brick thrown at a car window. we'll let the courts decide that, but it doesn't look
Lane
great.
Lane is now 20-1 at Offensive Rookie of the Year. Yeah.
That's insane.
I couldn't find many. I think they pulled down a lot of the passing yard props because of this. We're waiting to let this flush out a little bit. I wouldn't mind throwing a little sprinkle on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they've, you know, even Lamar was saying, we haven't had that guy that just goes and gets it. You know, I don't know what that means for Zay Flowers. I mean, Zay Flowers has got all the love in our industry right now.
Certainly all the money, too.
Yeah, he's got paid. He's unique to Baltimore, I think, like where he's perfect for that team and their offensive, like almost where like he makes his own route with Lamar, kind of like they kind of like improv a lot, you know?
Right.
And I get what he's saying about Lane having those strong hands, making those strong catches. They've never had that player. But also to your point about the new center, but they did improve their guards a lot, I think. So I think they're inside running because last year Henry's like numbers dropped before contact, like almost a full yard, which is wild. But they made a point to improve their guards. So I do think they will be heavy running the ball as well.
If we didn't have an emaciated Packers defense making business decisions in December there, who knows what his numbers will look like there. So,
Jeff, what about some props? Obviously, gambling show. We love talking props. You're the host of Prop Points on VSiN. This is one I want to talk about because to me, I am fading Christian McCaffrey. I'm telling people, don't draft Christian McCaffrey unless you want to ruin your life. Christian McCaffrey, I mean, every time he's had a 400-plus touch season, he's followed it up with he just doesn't play. And a lot of people in the fantasy world like to stand on this. You can't predict injuries. I'm sorry. I'm not drafting Christian McCaffrey. And any sort of unders that are available for Christian McCaffrey, I think, are live because I don't see him playing a full season. Now he's dealing with this back tightness. We all remember the Achilles thing where they go, don't worry about it. He's going to be fine. And then he's just out for a long time. Where are you at with Christian McCaffrey? Any props you like?
I feel like we're in lockstep here.
Let's go.
You know, I've seen him actually in one of my drafts. I saw him drop to the second round. So I'm a little scared to draft him. I'm also scared not to draft him because of the upside. But if he's going to get there, it's going to be because of the receptions. It's going to be because of the receiving yards. He's becoming a decreasingly efficient runner. 3.9 yards per carry last year. That offensive line didn't improve over the offseason either. And who knows if Trent Williams can make it through a full season. I don't even factor in the Kalen Black factor because they draft a third round running back every year. And sometimes that actually works, but probably not this year. We'll see what happens with that. But I just have a distrust of the Niners. Like you were alluding to, they screwed us over so hard 2 years ago. It was Monday Night Football. They didn't let us know until an hour and a half before the game that he wasn't going to play. All along, it was, oh, no big deal, right. No big deal. Yeah. And if you did not have Jordan Mason, yeah,
next
you got
he's in, next thing he's in Germany getting new hamstrings.
I think the red flag is that they bring in a guy like Khalil Herbert. That, to me, is kind of them telling you, hey, maybe this running back room isn't as deep as we think. And if you're in a deep draft, having Keelan Black just in case in a managed league or even in best ball, I think makes sense. Kramer gave him out Offensive Rookie of the Year. I also like that. Back when it was like as high as 150-1, that price has obviously dropped now with the McCaffrey injury stuff. So I think Keelan Black is. I mean, if somehow Christian McCaffrey doesn't play or re-aggravate something, Keelan Black is in for a pretty nice workload. What about another California running back, Omarion Hampton? Catching a lot of hype here. Are you buying or selling with Omarion Hampton? Any props you like for him?
So I drafted him middle of the second round today. So that's
okay. So you're high.
And that was actually considered cheap.
Yeah, that's
I was pretty happy. 2.7 I got him at there. Shop around. As always, you can find some variance in rushing props and in player props here. He's at 925.5 over at FanDuel. It was 949, I think, is what. You know, I'm going to be on with Tim Murray tomorrow morning, and he in the futures draft he got Hampton at 949 over at DraftKings. But hey, they were playing one book only, so you know.
Yeah.
But
shop around,
good,
Tim.
Do you think McDaniel's quote the other day by saying, "Hey, whoever's the hot hand's going to get the hot
hand"?
Oh,
he says that stuff every year.
He said that in Miami about Ollie Gordon.
Yeah.
Like, he lies. You know what I mean? Like, I think.
They might if the hot hand, but he's not going to let them get the hot hand. He leaves that part out.
I mean, I actually went to a Charger training camp last week, and just looking at Hampton, he's the biggest guy on the field. He's the fastest guy on the field. With this offense, I mean, I don't see how he does not have a monster year here.
Yeah, I don't buy the anti-hype here. Right. I'm in on this. And hey, I know there's the wanted sign for Keaton Mitchell before they signed him.
I'm falling for that.
Yeah. They've already lost their center. That is something that's a little bit of a concern.
Sure. Yeah, where are you at with the O-line? Do you think that's going to impact them?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously you lose your center, it's always terrible, especially if you don't have any time to prepare. But they spent a second-round pick on a guy that was exclusively center in college.
Supposedly really good.
I think he'll just slide right in instead of playing guard.
And even with Keaton Mitchell, like, okay, even if they do utilize him, it's 8 to 10 touches a game?
Right.
Like,
exactly.
What is that? You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Omarion Hampton, the case there is that he gets those rushing touchdowns. 30 seconds on the clock, Jeff. One more prop for the people.
Under 999.5 for Rashee Rice on receiving yards.
Come on.
Quote unquote stiff as a board going through.
He does not look good.
I don't even care about the legal situation. I just don't buy him as a player.
You don't believe in the prison injury rehab system?
Yeah.
It is funny. It's like, no, they're supposed to rehab their bad behavior, not also leg injuries.
Yeah, knee injuries.
good stuff as always. Check out Jeff Erickson right here on VSiN Prop Points when we return Survivor Talk.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live. I'm Sean, stacking the money green, filling in for Ryan Kramer. CJ Selvin from the Bottom Line Bombs Podcast. What's up, CJ?
What's up, Sean? I was just checking myself in the monitor there, making sure the hair looks good. I usually don't wear a hat, but right before the show, and luckily I'm still doing this, a patron out there says, "Hey, give me a head nod." I gave him a head nod back. He goes, "Are you Tim Dillon?" I said, "No." And he said, "Okay," and walked on. And then I got depressed for 10 minutes and said, well, I'm not wearing a hat today.
Yes, come on. Tim Dillon.
Hey, it was great.
Hey, CJ, we're going to be out here again next week. Obviously, we're every Friday for the VSiN show, but we're going to be out doing it big here. Contest weekend, college football week 0 is right around the corner. Of course, get the college football and the NFL betting guide when you're a VSiN pro. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe, just as little as $9.99. Great time to get involved with the guide. 50% with the VSiN pro annual subscription, VSiN.com/subscribe. You get the picks, the bet splits, the tools. It is great. If you're not a VSiN pro, you're a VSiN amateur. Get in. VSiN.com/subscribe. Hey, CJ? Yes?
I was just going to say real quick about week 0 college football.
Yeah, you got any early plays?
Well, is there any more fun way to start off week 0 in the college football season than a 9 a.m. Ireland kickoff
yes.
of fading Bill Belichick. I mean, how heavy
are you going to be on? I think I'm going to be on UNC.
You taking the 7.5?
Because it's yeah, everyone's it's over 7 TC, points, and
yeah,
and Ireland dogs have been so good to me over the years. I had Northwestern on the money line a while back. It does seem like it's a game they're just going to randomly win, and then the rest of the season will go completely unhinged. Right. But it's tough to get excited with our old buddy Mike Lombardi on leave.
Yeah,
his son, defensive coordinator, on medical leave. Who knows? But it'll be fun to sweat that
Lombardi
out.
Lombardi took a lot of like unnecessary strays after he lost his job. He forgot. I waited on him 8 years ago. He didn't tip well. Like, what? What's that to do with this job hiring?
No, and I think what happens is he was in the media for a while
sure.
after GMing, and what I liked about Lombardi when he was doing shows, he wasn't afraid to roast coaches and players, and then all of a sudden some bad news happens to Lombardi, and then everyone came calling for him. But CJ, we're here talking NFL Survivor. We're going to be signing up for NFL Survivor. Mm-hmm. $20 million guaranteed, although it looks like it's going to be like $25-26 million. And we're doing this cool thing. You had this idea, Surviving CJ. We're going to give away an opportunity to play Survivor with CJ, sg.pn/SurvivingCJ. We got a cool graphic here. So explain the idea, explain the concept of Surviving CJ.
Sure. Well, we all know the Circus Survivor contest is the greatest football contest in the world.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it. And some of the trouble is you do have to come to Vegas to sign up for it. Then you get your proxy and blah, blah, blah. That's why there's been competitors who do their whatever polymarket stuff, and which is not the same thing.
No.
So I decided, and I usually get a lot of entries and do different variant things. But I said this year, you know what? Let's let a lucky listener out there, a C-Generate out there, partner up with me. I'll buy an entry. I'll pay for the proxy, do the whole thing. Let's run a contest, Surviving CJ, and I'll pick one lucky listener to be partners with me. Free circuit, free chance at $20 million.
Yeah, this is awesome.
I mean, this is a free shot at $20 million. I haven't done all the legal stuff yet, but we'll put that in ChatGPT. Hope we'll draw up some paperwork. But yeah, the contest is Surviving CJ. The deadline is this Sunday. You go to sg.pn/SurvivingCJ. Just do a little 30-second video of why you should be our partner, what you can do, how you're not afraid to chop, whatever it is, you know, and you will get a free entry for the Circa Survivor Contest. Partner with me. You come on my show at the Bottom Line Bombs each week. You pitch your pick. I'll probably let you take whoever you want, because if it loses, I can blame you.
That is what's the great part about a partnership. Yeah. And then the fact that you're like, letting someone steer, it takes the sweat off of you. And to your point, you want to go with Chargers week one, and then the Cardinals went outright. Oh, well, you blew it.
There's nothing better.
Because you don't want to be the guy that says, I don't know, I think we should go Jags. And they're like, no. And then somehow the Browns win. And then the person's like, well, great contest. I got to play with CJ.
Yeah.
Then he picked the loser week one. Very fun. And we've been getting a bunch of entries. We got one here to
tons
play.
Tons of entries. They've been fantastic.
Let's take a look at one of the entries.
Yeah.
What's up, CJ? Man in the box. My name's John Coulifay. We met a couple times out in Vegas, and I'd like to enter the Surviving CJ pool. Been a loyal listener of yours now for a few years. Was there for all the car trouble and untrustworthy mechanics, the attempted taxidermy of the squirrel, which was hilarious. And I was at your defense for the stolen valor of the Tucker ladder on Twitter. I'd love to be your partner. I don't even need half. I work in a pizza shop, so like 10, 20% is gonna be more than enough for me. And if not, I'll still be in the chat, man. I love the show, love the stories, and I hope you win.
Wow. Love it, great entry.
Strong entry. One, wearing my merch, fantastic. Then inside details of how much of a fan he was, the stolen ladder valor of that was of Brian Kramer who took my Trey Tucker ladder and act like it was his.
That was great.
So he knows the history, and then he went with a little empathy. I only need 10%, you know.
Well, but then also it's just the classic gambling brain of like, I only need 20%. Right. He kept up in the percentage.
Yeah, you see, I started up in it.
About 25. I mean 30. So 45% is fine.
And listen, I'm not above bribes, but. Yeah. It but it is 50-50, just for everyone out there.
And we do have a selection show Monday over on the YouTube, and it's great. We're going to be talking about it all season long, so it's a Selection Monday show.
Selection Monday, there it is. So it's Monday live, 1 o'clock on the Sports Gambling Podcast, on the Bottom Line Bombs. We're simulcasting together, me, you, Ryan Kramer. We're going to watch the top 20 videos, kind of like The Voice, you know.
Wow, this is a lot of pressure.
There's going to be buzzers. Our chairs won't spin around because that's the logistics that is going on.
We don't have a studio that allows for spinning chairs.
Right, but we're all going to nominate. We're all going to get one vote. The audience is going to get one vote. So tune in. You guys get to get a vote. And then we'll pick the four finalists. And then on the Wednesday show, we'll break that down. And then next Friday here in Las Vegas, we'll announce the winner.
Yes, a lot of pressure. What is your, and you've been getting some ones that are pretty entertaining,
yes,
some that use some language that we can't play here on VSiN, but you don't give anyone any guidelines, it's just basically wide open here.
Yeah, no, I just want you to be authentic, be yourself. You know, some people like use AI, I don't want that. I just want to know who you are. Some have been great, high quality products, but I'm looking at a lot of different things. If you are a true degenerate, if you, you know what I mean?
Like,
if
yeah, that will give you extra points.
Come back. If you're about that life, basically.
But speaking of, we got to talk Survivor. Kramer and I are going to do an episode next week where we map out our entire Survivor. Mm-hmm. We always do that. We get one entry, lock it in. Don't change it regardless. Right. Just stick to the guns. And then one we play week by week. I think the way we got to the week before Thanksgiving was the farthest we've gotten in the Survivor. Who are you looking at week one? Do you have some Christmas holiday games circled already? Give us some early Survivor takes.
Well, we all know the holiday games this year are extremely tough. So I don't even want to talk about that. But if you just want to talk about week one, and I did make it to Thanksgiving last year.
Nice.
I made it to Gobblegeddon, as famously known
that
as.
Was and if you're watching the VSiN documentary, highly recommend it, on the Survivor. And I think they just did that episode.
Yep, they just did that episode.
Where all the dogs won outright. So people who had bad strategy and only had dogs left, or people who forgot to, one guy who put in the wrong pick.
Totally those guys. They luck box their way into it. I'll never forget that weekend. And then Jeffrey Branson, the great here, man, runs the sportsbook here in Circa. He tweets out, is there anything better than a Circa Survivor contest? And I tweeted back at him, you and your contest destroyed my family in this holiday.
He's really, Derek with these rules is really putting a lot of pressure.
It was very
if
tough.
You make it to Thanksgiving, now this year you have the Wednesday Thanksgiving Eve game. You have the three all on Thanksgiving and then the Black Friday game, which all count for that.
That's the good news. There is more games. They're all still tough games, but there are more games. But at the same time, you're talking about Survivor. You don't know what things are going to look like at week 10, week 11.
No, that's
but as far as week one goes.
Week one, what are we doing?
Now, Chargers, obviously, the biggest chalk there. They will be double digit point
favorite. I'm just going to try and get to week two and probably go Chargers.
I don't think I'm doing Chargers. I mean, I'll have some shares of Chargers. I'll probably have, five or six entries. But I think the Jaguars, pound for pound, might be the best play there. They're at home versus Cleveland. And if you look at Jacksonville's schedule, the only other time you can really feel confidently use them is when they're hosting Tennessee. Other than that, they're not a big favorite over anyone. It's all 2-3 point
lines.
They
only had six true home games.
Yes, exactly. They're reconstructing the stadium to make it less. The hot tub needs retooling.
They got to drain that thing.
Yeah, they're in London for a month. Who knows? But Jaguars at home versus the Browns versus whatever the Browns are rolling out a quarterback.
In the back of my head is that I've got knocked out Survivor with Kramer on the Browns in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. It was a few years ago. And I remember saying to him, Kramer, we're only going to have so many times in our life left to bet against Deshaun Watson. Which I was wrong on both parts. I was wrong on having a good opportunity to bet against Deshaun Watson, and I was wrong on the idea that we would have more opportunities to bet against Deshaun Watson. So maybe this is the time Jags win outright at home against the Cleveland Browns. Cannot wait for Survivor. And of course, we got CJ in studio, which means time for our ladders. Sports Gambling Podcast Live here on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Whoa, Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Sack and Money Grain filling in for Ryan Kramer, the great CJ Sullivan. Bottom line bombs, and of course, college football literally around the corner. I know we keep saying it's around the corner, it's around the corner. College football week zero next week kicks off. You got to get the college football betting guide. So much great information. Matt Eumann's preseason top 50. Get previews for all 138 FBS teams. Get in VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up now for as little as $9.99. Gave out my JKS Heisman take. Also Air Force to win the Mountain West. CJ's laughing because we got in an Uber a couple weeks back. Or no, this was in July, and the guy's making small talk. He's got a system for NFL. He's got a system for college.
Guy was, you know, good guy.
Yeah, you know, it just takes like three teams to win it all. He's got some system. He wins every year.
Him and his son, they picked three teams, you know.
It was very wholesome.
Very wholesome.
But you can tell he wasn't super deep. And
the guy's just won a championship. He goes, I need one college team to fill it out.
He goes, give me one play. And I go, JKS Heisman 90-1.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait, who's he playing for?
And then you start going,
I'm like, oh, it's a Cal quarterback. Should have a great second year.
And then you start going into detail about your sleeper Heisman play of the sophomore.
And he goes, I like Arch Manning. Just the chalkiest of all chalk.
I was like, just take Oregon. Throw Oregon in there.
He goes, You blew this guy's mind, Sean. He just wanted a simple, basic play here.
Team.
Well, of course, CJ Sullivan in studio. And of course, you may know him as the Laddie Daddy, giving out ladders all year round. In my mind, we talk about stolen valor. Yeah. For me, CJ was the one who has popularized the term ladder when it comes to sports gambling. I'm going to give it to CJ.
Yeah.
I'm sure people have their case, but certainly the ladder graphics, the ladder photos.
Thank you.
Our buddy Japan, who sends in ladders. There are, it's ladder culture here.
I, of course, did not invent the term ladder. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah.
But I was on the ground floor.
Ladder emojis. We did a search once.
I was on the bottom rung, if you will, on this, where a popularizing ladder and using the physical description. I mean, I'm the one who went to Petco every Friday to get bird ladders to bring out to the
church. Remember the giant ladder you built at the front out here?
I constructed ladders.
Yeah, come on.
With kittens up top, because the top rung ladders, when you get the kitty out of the tree, I would say. As a fireman ladder, and you know, and whatever people do, and they take it, imitation greatest form for flattery, by the way, whatever. But I am the Laddie Daddy, and there's nothing better than ladders.
All right, we're gonna give out a step stool, a ladder, and then fire truck going super high. CJ, who is your step stool? Just a little small over here.
Step stool, get that jar from the top shelf, if you will. There,
change the you know. Fire detector, the battery.
Yeah, get the battery.
A little. Right. A little.
Absolutely. It's behind the fridge. You pull it in, you pull it out there. I'm going to start out. We talked about him earlier. You asked me if I was worried about the injury. I'm not. Brock Bowers, receptions.
Okay.
Its total is 82.5. Now, honestly, the only thing I think that can stop this from happening is an injury, because that Raiders wide receiver room is just, a who's who of who the heck is this guy? I mean, you know, you're looking at Trey Tucker as your number one, blah, blah, blah. I think Kirk Cousins, yes, he looked bad for a while, but the last month of the season there for Atlanta, he was fully back healthy, and you see him in the preseason. I think Cousins is going to be sustainable. Even Mendoza, Brock Bowers, you know, number one tight end in the league, that's certainly number one tight end fantasy. He will be the target
insane
vulture.
Amount of volume. And part of the reason why I'm not high on the Raiders, they don't really have much going on in the receiver room except Brock Bowers as their tight end. So,
and I trust I trust Kubiak to get him open and scheme him in ways where you can't just shut him out of a game. 82.5 receptions. I think if Brock Bowers is healthy, he clears this no problem with 100, but we'll just start with a stepladder just to lock it in, Brock Bowers. He can get this done in 12 games.
Smash it. For my step stool, give me Wan'Dale Robinson over 699.5 receiving yards. This to me is just, again, kind of like Brock Bowers, a volume play. I think in Tennessee, Dable brought in Wan'Dale Robinson. Why? Because he's his guy. He has a role already planned for him in the offense. He's going to give Cam Ward a lot of easy receptions. Even in fantasy, if you want to play him in full point PPR, I think he's going to be good. He's just going to get a lot of garbage. And just get a ton of targets, ton of volume, 699 and a half, very doable for Wandale Robinson.
And Cam Ward, if you've heard his quotes, he said he loves Wandale.
Yeah.
He said Wandale like, came to his house, like, let's get to work, like that kind of thing. He loves that working attitude. And Cam Ward is that dog who works hard. Now, I don't know if he's good, but he but he does do the work. And Wandale is the perfect receiver for Cam Ward, who does erratic, works, comes back to him and all that. Like, I know Cornell Tate was number 4 overall pick, and he definitely will be involved, but, like, he's not exactly what Cam Ward
is. He's
going to
be
right
the.
Now.
I think he could be the volume leader in
yes,
that offense.
Absolutely.
Very easily. 699's low for a receiver one.
I love it.
Kind of regardless of how you feel in the Titans. CJ, what about a regular size ladder? You putting some lights up, cleaning the gutter maybe?
Regular size ladder. We're getting the Christmas lights up on the roof. Right. We're cleaning some gutters before the fall season comes out there. I'm going to look at a rushing touchdown. Look at the Cincinnati Bengals. And one of the few bell cows out there is Chase Brown. Now, obviously, they're a pass-happy offense, but they've been talking about how they're going under center a lot this year. They want to take some of the ease off of Joe Burrow. They've been running double tights and play action.
Yeah.
Chase Brown is just going to get so many opportunities to score those short yard rushing touchdowns. 10-plus touchdowns, just 10 and over, double-digit touchdowns, is plus 350.
Yeah, I mean, if he's out there, all his numbers have been great with...
this is an offense that's scoring 30 points a game. You know, they're all not going to be Higgins and Chase, like 40-yard touchdowns here. He's just, out of his pure pure numbers and probabilities, he's going to get, you know, one every other game. So for him to get double touchdowns, and he's a guy who can get 3 or 4, even if they're one-yarders. So I like Chase Brown. I even sprinkled him to lead the league in rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, no, the case totally makes sense if you're high on the Cincinnati offense. And then there's still a bunch of questions on the defense. Maybe they continue to play in some shootout atmospheres. For me, my regular size ladder, give me Jameson Williams. 1,250 receiving yards at 4-1. I mean, we had Erickson in explaining how he liked, you know, Jared Goff might lead the league in passing yards. And no one's taking him for fantasy. But for me, the Jameson Williams play is just perfect. The guy's explosive. The yards after the catch are there. They play a ton of games in the dome. And you want to talk about bad defenses, especially early on with their two big studs coming back from injury. I think they're going to play. Just look at those first 3 weeks. Their totals in those games are through the roof. And now we have a Sam Laporta injury that looks like it's probably going to go into the regular season. Yeah, I know you got Amon-Ra. And yeah, they're going to run the ball with Gibbs. But Dan Campbell is a huge Jameson Williams fan, and last year 1,117. I just think he's going to get a massive jump here.
Well,
just like game script.
Yes, and just to jump on what you said. Now, this Lions offense we know is going to be great.
Yeah,
they're going to be great, and that we are putting out tons of dome games. Goff's going to put up numbers, and why I like them, they're even going to be better in fantasy this wise because they're going to be more focused on offense. Like, you know, your Cleve Raymonds are gone. It's not going to be spread around as much. It's going to be pretty focused. It's going to be Gibbs. It's going to be Amron. And it's going to be Jameson and Laporta, which is fine. And with such the volume, they have to hit those numbers.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be spread around and pushed around anymore.
Yeah, we talked about him. I think he's interesting in the fast futures. If he has one of the only September markets, if he gets off to a hot start, which I could totally see considering some of those defenses. I mean, that first Saints-Lions game, I expect to be a massive
Don't
shootout.
Sell too much or he'll bet on it, James.
All right, last ladder. We got the fire truck.
Yes.
Get the ladder out. Get the kitty out of the tree.
Get the kitty out of the tree. And just for you fans at home, if your cat does get stuck in a tree, a 911 operator once told me when I called them, said, can you get the cat out of the tree? They said, first of all, we don't do that anymore. I said, I know, but, you know, the wife was crying. She goes, have you ever seen a cat skeleton in a tree? I said, no. She goes, they get down.
They figure it out. All right, 1 minute on the clock, CJ. What's your fire truck?
We're going to go receiving yards as well here. I love Jalen Waddle. Most receiving yards is 60-1. Offensive player of the year, 100-1. We saw it tonight early in the first half. Sean Payton needs a player, this playmaker. And Sean Payton is talking about how much they're going to use Jalen Waddle.
He loves him.
And he doesn't usually talk like that. I know there's always a thing with a joker, but like they've never had a playmaker like this in Sean Payton's offense. I love Cortland Sutton. He'll be there, of course, all that. But they're going to use Jalen Waddle in so many ways. For him to lead the lead in receiving yards at 60-1,
Love it.
It's worth a stab.
Yeah. That offense, we saw it already cooking here in the preseason game. For mine, give me Devontae Smith. I'm a broken record here in the offseason, but I believe in this new look of passing offense. And even if you're a skeptic of Hurts, which I'm not, but some are, he is, you know, Devontae Smith is just going to eat. All that A.J. Brown volume has gone out the door. You know, Jalen Hurts is a guy, a creature of habit. He's going to throw to his two guys, Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. And Devontae Smith is going to get a ton of volume. 43-1 to lead the league in receiving yards, but 125-1 offensive player of the year. He leads the league in receiving yards. He might get offensive player of the year. We're going to talk NFL preseason, including a plus 150 money line dog. Sports Gambling Podcast Live here on VSiN.